The fourth of the alternatives that we can choose for All Souls Day and for funerals is Luke 7:11-17, which is the raising of the son of the widow at Nain. Nain is a little town in the north in Galilee. It's still a little town. And so our text goes, it happened that soon afterwards he went to a town called Nain, accompanied by his disciples and a great number of people. Now when he was near the gate of the town, there was a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now she is absolutely alone in this world. How is she going to eat? She might have some kind-hearted relatives, but she has nothing to count on. Okay. A considerable number of the townspeople were with her. When the Lord saw her, my translation has, he felt sorry for her. I don't know if that's such a very good translation from the way we use that word nowadays. Esplagnisti. He was moved deeply. The word there, the verb, comes from a noun, splankna. I think I've explained this before, which means your innards, your guts. He was moved in his being. He didn't feel sorry for, oh, isn't that too bad? I hope somebody can help her out. He was moved in his innards. And that's what the text is saying, see? And so he said to her, don't cry, which is beautiful, huh? Don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, young man, I tell you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him to his mother. The power of the command of the Son of God reaches right through death. That's why this is a text. Death is not the last word for us. Because we believe in Jesus Christ and we're joined to him. The Holy Spirit has joined us to him. And so we will hear his voice even as we die or even as we're dead. And that will raise us up temporarily now. And then one day, the whole being that we are transformed and with God forever. That's the promise. And so to have these texts here for funerals is a big help. Let the people know what God has promised them. See, everyone was filled with awe and glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us. God has visited his people. And this view of him, that he's a great prophet, spread throughout Judea and all over the countryside. Now, why would the church want this gospel, this account of the raising of a dead man, the only son of a widowed mother, why would it be here for a liturgy at a funeral? First, because it reminds us of the power that our Lord Jesus Christ has over death. Death is not the last word. The word of Jesus Christ is the last word. And do we have tried to obey him, that word is going to be, enter the joy of your Lord. Maybe we need purification and purgatory, but that's where we're going. And to think we'll be there for all eternity, you know, in the embrace of Jesus. That's why it's there. To remind us that Jesus has power over life and death. Not just when he walked in northern Galilee, but today, this very day. And he can free us from the cords of death, mostly those cords that bind us through sin. And that's the, but it's also to say, look, this dead person is in our midst, or it's the All Souls Day, and we're praying for them all. Never forget that at a word from Jesus Christ, someone regains their life in this world, or maybe in the next, forever. Come join, come enter the joy of your Lord. It's quite a promise. Now we're looking at the fifth choice we have, also from Luke. It's 23:44, Luke 23:44. to 24, 6a. And this is a resurrection account. And so it goes, "It was now about the sixth hour, and the sun's light faded, so that darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour." This is the account of our Lord's death. "The veil of the sanctuary was torn right down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.' With these words he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw what had taken place, he gave praise to God and said, 'Truly, this was an upright man.' All his friends stood at a distance, so also did the women who had accompanied him from Galilee, and all saw this happen. And now a member of the council arrived." This is, now there's a big gap, you see. That's 44 down to 24, now we're to 24, we're going to be in 24:6 now, you see. And moves on. And this man went to Pilate, Joseph of Arimathea. They took down the body, they prepared the body, and they buried it in a tomb. And on the Sabbath, they rested as the law required. This text is to remind us that he really died dead and stayed dead 3 days. It wasn't a trick or some embalming miracle. He was dead, and he rose again. And we have to know that, because we will lie dying one day, and we want to know that Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. He's there with us, and as we die, he receives us in the power of his own resurrection. And that's what this account is all about. And so, you see, it's the sixth hour and the sunlight's failed. I remember once in Jerusalem, it was Good Friday, and a huge sandstorm stirred up and covered the sky up as far, it was going on in the Sinai, but it came up and covered the sky over Jerusalem. And just around this time, noon to 3 or 4 on Good Friday, it was dark because of the sandstorm. And I've never forgotten that. It was dark. The streetlights went on. They're all, you know, like most of those things. If it gets dark enough, they automatically go on. So they went on. What is this text telling us then? He really died. He really died. We don't have to fear death. He's gone this way before us. Will it be frightening? Probably. Unless we're so tired we don't even notice. But and we'll step into another dimension of reality and we'll meet with the Lord. Oh, wouldn't it be great that there's a huge smile on his face? He's embracing us because he loves us. And we have tried to follow him and serve him, been sorry for our sins, took care of the poor, took care of the sorrowful, took care of the weak, did all the things he told us to do, and were faithful to him. What a moment. We'll see the smile on his face, and we'll go with him and to the Father. And that's why this text is here, giving us the account of our Lord's death. Amen. We're going to look now at Luke 24. I think most people, as soon as they hear Luke 24, get a smile inside. Huh? It's the story of the men on the way to Emmaus, edited so that it fits. It's a long text, you know. And so it says, you see, on the first day of the week, at the first sign of dawn, I'm sorry, I'm making a... okay. I guess I don't have an English text for... Oh, yes. No, I don't. 24:13. Two of them went that day. I'm going to have to get it from here. You just excuse me for a moment. Or probably Jesus will. Maybe I could get it here more. No, I'll do it here now. I'm here. Luke 24. This is everybody's favorite Easter gospel. Because the fruit of the resurrection is what? Understanding Scripture. That's the fruit. And so that's the story, huh? And so it starts on verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles away from Jerusalem called Emmaus. You're allowed to walk 7 miles on the Shabbat. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing?" And they said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what just happened? What happened?" And so they begin to tell him. And then it says here, with such beauty, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke." It's all there in our scriptures, even before the New Testament was written. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses. You see, in the Old Testament is divided, as I think I've mentioned before, into Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. The law, the writings, and the prophets. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. The law, the prophets, and the writings. And so it says here, you see, then beginning with Moses, the law, and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. It doesn't say here the writings, but it will soon. As they approached the village, and you know the story, and he broke bread with them. That's a grace. That's the Eucharist, right? Opening up our hearts to believe. And then they walk back and tell everybody, and Jesus stands in their midst. And again, they're all amazed. And finally he says, "These are my words that I spoke when I was with you." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That is the primary grace, or not the primary, perhaps, grace of the resurrection, is to understand the scriptures. Pray for that grace. The more that you are aware and really know and believe in your heart and experience the resurrection of Jesus in your own being, the better you will understand the scriptures, you see? And it says, so then, he says here, you know, that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, repentance would be preached in his name, beginning from Jerusalem, and you are witnesses. And so he returns and he opens up the scriptures for them. And as St. Thomas says, the fruit of the grace of the resurrection is the understanding of scripture. Because Jesus, risen Jesus, will explain it to us. Amen.